Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Cardi Cam, put it up, fam.
Hey,
straight, baby.
Yeah,
beat down. Oh. You ain't no shit. I said, boss, just stand up. Stand up. The beans on city, fam. Boss, just stand up. Stand up. The beans on city. Boss, just stand up. Stand up. The beans on city, fam. Boss, just stand up. Stand up.
One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home with the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down Sluggins. Aaron Smith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Pepsi, y'all want Cardi. C-Dot, Rod. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life comes alive, start a riot like this. From South Carolina to Southie, Roxbury, Metapan, Dorchester, Somerville, Winter Hill, J.P., E.C., Nancy, y'all want Cardi, Everett, Morgan, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans,
stand up, stand up, the beans, your city, stand up, stand up, stand up. The beat your city, bosses, stand up, stand up. The beat your city, fair bosses, stand up, stand up. The beat your city,
set a fire to the ache and break double parking rust out. Middle finger up every rapper in the city, cause y'all hate me just like New York City. I'm not trying to be anyone and no man. Follow no path, I take no lead. I'm just like you, mean mugging on the tee. Waking up them stairs that smell like tea. Aggravated, frustrated, Johnny Bass injected. Line around the block for them Dunkin' Donuts. Walking into traffic like an organ donor. Every street's a one way. There's a block in the city, everybody rocks clover. 30 degrees and I'm wearing shorts. It's Fox 25, fucked up the weather report.
Bosses, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, fair bosses, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, bosses, stand up, stand up. The beans on city, fair bosses, stand up, stand up.
You see them little stairs in front of that parking spot. Ain't cause the owners like to sit there a lot. You seen the snowman?
I ain't no
snowman. Union workers stand around doing nothing. Got another big, 100 million counting. When you're stupid, you was tired of something. My war burn, make a million for talking. Just call me Mad Payment cause I'm good with a hunting. These honeys out in Newberry, paid for my February. They love my clientele, you think Fight Club. You see me out with Ernie Barr, better bring your black card. 9 May 8, everything about this. As long as the proof standing, I'm about this. So boss it.
This is the revolution.
The hardest rap alive, how do you act? It's elusive.
And good evening. Hello, everyone. I'm hoping you're having a lovely Thursday evening on a gorgeous kind of spring day. I mean, after all that snow we've had in the northwest area, it's kind of nice to see that. Of course, I'm actually chilling down in Pennsylvania for this week, so we can say we're broadcasting live from the city of brotherly love. I sometimes wonder if I'm broadcasting from Philly, if I should just play, you know, Philly stand-up. Maybe I can have my friend there, Cardiac, do me a version for Philly or wherever I happen to be. I'm hoping you guys are all having a great time. Once again, I seriously love everybody in the chat room. Andy's funny. He's like, the pages have changed. If you are a regular to our show, like Andy and Betty, Bob, Brendan, Gary, Mary Rose, nice to see you, Peter K, Starlight, William. You guys are all regulars. Blog Talk Radio has had some changes up to their pages. They've updated some things, deleted some other things that really weren't being used that much. So it's kind of cool that they did that. So if you guys can kind of mess around with it, you see that it's different. Kind of like the format, because now the pictures aren't squished. You can actually see the pictures of our guests. I still kind of wish that the segment pages were a little bit longer, because some of our guests are just so interesting that I wish I could cover a little bit more on that. about them and their bios and stuff. And Alan, you're right, Philly does rock. I kind of like it. It's kind of like a home away from home for me lately. Been doing a lot of traveling down here. I have family in Philly and been spending a lot of time here in the last year, so really gotten to know it. For you guys, just to let you know, our Beautiful Mountain Man is out sick. He has been under the weather, and he won't be with us for the next couple of weeks until he recuperates. So if you guys want to send little emails of support to our Mountain Man, don't forget to do that at ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. He would love for you guys to write to him and let him know that you still care. So hopefully he'll be feeling better. And other news, I'm really excited to let you guys know next week we're going to have the phenomenal Miss Kristen. We've actually heard some of her songs that are in our queue, and she has a really funky kind of flavor to her. I really like that. And the second guest is going to go Mo Nitty. Now, Mo Diddy is an up-and-coming, he does a little bit of everything. His music has a certain flavor to it. You're going to really like it. It's really new, and it's really there. So I'm going to really be excited about looking for having them on the show. We actually were supposed to have them a while back, and it didn't happen. With that said, as you all know, we have the phenomenal Jenna Donovan in our rotation, and I am excited to say I actually have a couple of new songs from her. So before we go on to our housekeeping and then to our amazing guest that we have coming up, I want to introduce this song that she sent to us. It's called Oh Those Days, and it's the newest release from our own phenomenal Jenna Donovan. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Was no work, all play, not a care in the world.
And welcome back. That was our own Jenna Donovan with her Oh Those Days. Love that vibe. I mean, especially now, springtime, I can't help it. But every time springtime comes around, I really think I get more excited than the kids do because, you know, it's like the end of school is coming and summer is around the corner. Baseball, of course, which is my passionate love, is there as well. And I get all excited because it's there's just something in there. And I just love it. So that kind of brings back childhood memories of being able to run around and play and have a good time and everything. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I want to let everybody know in the chat room we put the links up for the teaser for the book for the author that we're going to have on in a couple minutes, and also the fact that we also put up his website as well, so make sure you click on that. So if you guys are just joining us, you are on www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN. You get there to the segment page. You can listen to us on iTunes. Just to let you guys know, one of the changes that has occurred with the new format is that you can no longer download the show directly from our segment page, which is kind of not a bad thing because that way it doesn't take up space on your computer. But the cool thing is if you download iTunes, then you can listen to us that way as well. So it's kind of a quicker way to listen to it. If you are on the go, you can listen to us in your Android smartphone or your iPhone. Just go to the mobile app for Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to us that way as well. If you want to call in during today's show, the call-in number is 1-347-989-1473. That is 1-347-989-1473. That is the regular line. If you're calling us incurs a charge, feel free to call our toll-free number, 1-877-907-7217. I'm excited to let you know that our guest is in the queue, and we're going to pick him up in 1 second. But from last week, I forgot to read an email that I got, and I thought it would be a good time to hit it. Dear Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man, just wanted to let you guys know that I really enjoy the show and am looking forward to it every week. I do have a question, though. When you offer advice to your listeners, is that something that you feel you're giving from experience or from some type of training that you had? Really looking forward to your answer and looking forward to listening some more to you and Mountain Man. Sincerely, Brenda, calling from Lynn, Mass. Actually, emailing Lynn, Mass. Brenda, the reality is that you have to be a psychologist. I'm not a psychologist. And I find that sometimes when you mix psychology with life experience and common sense, you can come up with some pretty deep advice. One of the things that I do, and I know Mountain Man has done that in the past, is that when we offer advice, we very clearly tell people it's just and take it with. And we're back. I have no idea what that was. I'm telling you, you never know. It's like all of a sudden, everything fizzed out. And we're back. So, yes, as we were saying, we're going to move on to our go. And I sincerely apologize for that dead space. It's like the unwritten rule of radio. There's no dead space. And we just literally had 3 minutes of dead space as everybody's looking at me like, what happened? So we're back. Now we're going to go to our guest. And looking forward to... Hi, Diamond in the Rough, are you there?
I am here. Is this the Ordinary Woman, Charlie?
Yes, it is. Hi, Alan, how are you?
I'm great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. And I so apologize for that. I don't know, everything just frizzed out all of a sudden.
I was like, oh, great. I had the brain fart last week when I completely, you know, lost my mind. And, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to call. And then now I get in this week, and then all of a sudden it's going out, you know, 14 seconds before she's going to connect me. So,
I'm telling you. Well, that means that you have a really good concept to share with us. Alan, I really do not like butchering people's last names. So would you pronounce your last name for me?
It is Schatz. Pretty Schatz. Straightforward. Schatz.
See, that's what I thought. I wanted to make sure you told me because that's one of my pet peeves is people that mispronounce names. So I just wanted to make sure I got it right. So I am excited. Huh?
I hear you because I get the first name spelled about 19 different ways, even though it's pretty straightforward.
Now, Alan, I have to ask you because, first of all, I think it's a funny coincidence that the time that I get to interview you, I'm actually in Pennsylvania, and then, you know, it's funny, I hadn't even realized you were from this area, but I have to ask you, like, I am a mystery buff. I love baseball. I actually used to be a homicide detective in another life, and I have to ask you, how did you come up with the concept for your book, and tell us a little bit about that.
I have been a lifelong baseball fan, and under the unofficial guise of writers to write what you know or write what you love or however that saying goes or changes from day to day, I guess. When I had the chance to start writing, I wanted to make baseball my canvas, but I didn't want to make it a sports book. That's not. Clearly not what I was after, but I wanted to use the game as my canvas and have enough of, add in enough details that people would get the idea that I do, in fact, love baseball a great deal, but they'd get the mystery-type story that I was after. And I guess what one person has described as kind of the, what Dick Francis did for horse racing. It's kind of where I'm headed with baseball.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It really does because it's like, you know, usually when you do get the baseball books, most of them are out there more either, you know, how-to or biographies or fictional accounts of real people kind of thing. So it's like I was really intrigued by your trailer, and obviously I have to get the book because I have to read it. Now, my whole thing is backing it up a little. When did you become a writer?
I have always wanted to be officially a fiction writer. People have been telling me forever that I should be a writer, but in my in my business life, I have written copious amounts of material, user guides, how-to guides, documentation, financial statements, all those boring accounting-like activities, but. Actually writing in a writer-type setting was just in the last several years when the opportunity presented itself for me to do so. I jumped at it and said, I'm going to do this. It's something I wanted to do, and I took advantage of a situation and ran with it.
So when did you come up with the concept for the book? What was it that – were you sitting at a ballpark or watching a game? How did – the creative process happened for you?
For me, it was a title jumped into my head actually before the actual story did. Just the concept of early in the 2008 baseball season, my work situation was I was essentially a glorified babysitter for a financial system I was kind of the administrator of a budgeting system that was being phased out along with parts of a company that had just been acquired by another company. So my
right.
role was to kind of make sure the thing didn't stop working for the people who still needed to use it for the next, 12 months kind of thing. So essentially I was a glorified babysitter. It was early in the season of 2008. The year before, the Phillies had made the playoffs for the first time in forever,
right.
teams. And the idea came of, wouldn't it be cool to maybe run a story across all seven games of a World Series, for example, and, build the suspense and mystery over that time frame and have it kind of climax in that ultimate climactic game seven scenario. And like I said, the... baseball was the logical setting for me to put it on.
See, I have to stop you right there because that concept right there is genius, I have to tell you, because I'm a writer myself. And that right there, when I was looking at that, the fact that, because it's a pressure cooker, it's like you have this event that's occurring during what would be realistically happening would be 7 games of the World Series, and then you have this underlying story going on in that time period. I thought it was amazing. I mean, I really thought it was very creative, and the spin you're putting on it is phenomenal.
Well, thanks.
Now,
I
it really is
because
it's – yeah, no, because see, what it is, like I was saying, is that there's a lot of stuff out there that kind of, nowadays especially, because we do a lot of music and stuff here, and one of the things that's been my pet peeve is that stuff just keeps getting recycled, and it's like reused ideas, but what intrigued me about your concept is the reality that it's really a great concept, because the way you word it, and even the title itself, you know, Game 7, Dead Ball, everybody knows there's a double meaning to that, as what you're referring to in the story. So,
exactly.
And as a visual person working in the film industry, needless to say, amazing concept for a movie, even better, an amazing concept for a miniseries or a TV show.
I have had that said to me. I guess I need to find somebody to help me adapt it for a screenplay, but that has come
absolutely
up by some people. A few of my early, I had a few great people early on who helped me kind of beta readers, as I and others call them, to kind of sound out what's going on. And a few of them said, "Man, as soon as I got finished reading it, I saw this as a movie of the week kind of thing, or you know, an HBO movie or something like that." And I said, "Hey, that would work for me. I have no problems if somebody wants to." To contact me regarding the rights for such. That's no problem.
Oh, I'm telling you, it is, because the visuality of it, of the fact that you have this, I mean, I think personally it would be a phenomenal TV show or an amazing miniseries, or even better yet, you know, in the big screen, because there's just so much that can be done visually. And the fact that it's a basically a cliffhanger where you're excited to, like, okay, what's going to happen next? What's going on here? And that kind of thing. So, Alan, I want to ask you, a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up probably not far from where you are now. I grew up in Delaware County, which is a southwest suburb of Philadelphia, not more than 15-20 minutes away, in a little town called, I was in Ridley Township, so it's not far from the Delaware River, I-95, the Blue Route, all that good stuff over there near Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there most of my life until... Actually, 15 years ago, a job opportunity moved me west into western Pennsylvania, where I am now, just outside of Pittsburgh. So it seems a long time that I've been here, 15 years, but my wife and I never stopped being Philly people, and we never will be either.
Right.
That's for sure. But, yeah, I grew up there. I went to school there at Widener, which is not far from Philly. And all of our family is still in that general area, and it'll always be home to us. Same holds for my kids. They've spread out a little bit, but my daughter right now is going to school at Temple, so she is still there, and that's nice that there are people around in case she ever needs a little help.
That's awesome. Now, what do you think were the influences that kind of put you in the setting that you wanted to be a writer? Was there any influences around you, or was this something that you kind of just knew on your own?
No, I think it was something I've always in the back of my mind said, you know, how do you do that? And it was kind of like, I don't know how to start kind of thing. And when I finally just did start, I just started, to repeat myself, but I just started writing. And at one point for this book, I had close to 200,000 words because I was just kind of writing whatever – wherever the scenes were taking me, it was a lot of trial and error being my first, you know, formal attempt at a story, and then kind of going back through it over and over and over to hone the story in on where I wanted it to go and where it wanted to go. And I've always been a big reader. My wife and I have been big readers. We have a, you know, shelves full of paperbacks and whatnot, and the mystery genre.
But it's
genre,
funny what you mentioned about the fact that you had, you know, all these words written. It's kind of like, well, that's basically what they tell you with the writing process, is you kind of just keep writing and keep writing, because don't worry about the editing or trimming or whatever until you're absolutely done, and then you go back and do it. And it's funny that what you mentioned about wherever it wanted to go. I know it's a funny concept if you're not a writer, But it's very true that sometimes the stories do take a life of their own, because I've experienced that myself, where I'm thinking it's going to go in one direction, and then when it's written, you're like, wow, that's totally different from where I envisioned it. Now, as far as the creative process. Hello?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, as far as the creative process, how did you prepare yourself, and what frame of mind did you put yourself into that?
A lot of the early days were spent just researching various settings that I wanted to use, and I put a lot of the Delaware Valley into the story, and I've had a lot of the people from that area who've read it, they appreciate the details that they can say, hey, I know exactly where that is, and that bringing people into the scene by familiarity has helped for people who have read it. They've enjoyed it, especially from that area. The research, and then just kind of picturing the scenes as I wanted them to kind of evolve. And a lot of it was just letting my imagination go wherever it wanted to go, and then the story kind of jumps in and runs, as you said. And it's true. I found myself just kind of writing, and not necessarily with a direction, but ultimately found a destination that the words ended up pushing me to, which is hard to describe if you haven't tried to write, but I found it was cool. It was just like, hey, I didn't know I was going to end up doing that, but now that I did, hey, that's pretty good that it worked out that way.
Now, Alan, I have a question. Once you wrote the book, how did you take it to the next level? Did you go and get suggestions, or how did you decide to bring the book forth the way you did?
I started out, and this was, like I said, in 2008, 2009. So the e-book self-publishing thing was still way in the vanity type setting, or at least the way people felt. And it's only two years ago, but in the early days, you know, all the research I was doing, self-publishing was seriously frowned upon at just a couple years ago. I went the traditional route, did the queries to the agents, probably 75 or so, and ultimately actually had an agent, a literary agent, gentleman who's out of the greater New York area. Got hooked up with him. He then went through the traditional world of putting the book in front of the right eyeballs at the right places, and 18 months later, I was same place I was when we started, and he released me because he just had run out of options, or at least on his end, ways to go that he could convince somebody to take the book. And I had gone, this is 3 years or so since I had started in on the project, and I wasn't just going to walk away from it. In that time,
Alan, I have to stop you right there real quick, because that right there really boggles my mind. And this is some of the stuff that we've discussed in past shows, where you have you see these books that are recycled. I'm sorry. I'm an avid reader, and I could pick a recycle a mile away. If I'm reading a story and halfway through it, I'm reading a plot line where I'm like, oh, Patricia Cornwell did this in such and such a book, or Dean Koontz did this, or Stephen King did this, or this is something that someone else had done. It just boggles my mind that these books continue to be printed, and here you are with a book that, and this is what blows my mind. Here you have a book that it's an incredible concept, an incredible mystery mixed in with America's pastime, which anybody can relate to. You don't have to even be a baseball fan to really appreciate what the circumstances that you're using to set up the storyline. And it just blows my mind that someone wasn't able to put it in front of people that would be interested in publishing it. It just blows my mind.
I completely agree. It was extraordinarily frustrating when what the wall became was, fiction, mystery, new artists were extraordinarily hard to get past anyone's front door. And that that same group of 8 or 10 people are just churning out the same stories over, and they're all great writers. I mean, Kellerman and Harlan Coben. I mean, I love Harlan Coben's work, and you know, the Patterson's, both of them, and all those guys. I mean, they're great writers, but they are just, you know, churning out every 6 months. Oh, here's another Alex Delaware story, and you know, here's another Myron story from Harlan Coben, and it's not that there's wrong with that, but it was like you said, I had something unique, and the agent knew it was unique, and he was really behind it, but you know, you can only go so far before you say, this, you know, I'm going to have to release you, Alan, because I got to move on to my other clients, and I can't. You know, I can't spend more time on this, and it's not getting any traction with the traditional world.
Right. It almost seems like it just lack of originality as far as to how to market it, because, you know, you, like I said, I used to be an avid Patricia Cornwell reader, and no disrespect to her at all. I mean, I do enjoy her books, but after a while you're like, okay, your body count's probably up to like 80 right now, and there's always the same plot where you wind up killing someone or someone tries killing you, and then you wind up solving the mystery, you know, and after a while it's like, okay, really? We're just recycling the same concept and the whole thing. So, and the thing is, like, with the fact that what you are writing about is so expandable because of the fact that, like I said, this could easily be turned into a TV show, very easily, because of the fact there's that cooking effect, because you have the underlying story that leads up to the actual World Series, and you know, you could do that in a great way for a TV series. It just blows my mind people can't think outside the box in that sense.
Well, apparently I needed to have some vampires and zombies in my baseball game, but that might have helped too.
Oh man, don't even get me going with this. It's so funny. Don't even get me going. It's funny because my friend Andy, he's one of the listeners. He was my buddy in the guard. It was pretty funny because he actually got me turned into that The Walking Dead, and I was surprised that I even kind of, I liked it. It was a decent show.
I do. I watch it. I like it.
I was surprised because you're absolutely right. If you put a vampire or a zombie or some half-naked chick running through the woods in high heels as she's getting killed, it's instantly going to get signed. But then when you have something like your case, it just blows my mind. It really does. So when you got released from your agent, what went through your mind, and how did you take it to the next level?
That happened in early January this year, and I just pretty much immediately jumped into researching the various self-publishing options. And through that research, looking at the different how to do it yourself, and I didn't want to just, you know, do some fly-by-night kind of thing either, but I wanted to do it right if I was going to do it. I hit upon Smashwords, which is really a great service for indie writers, and followed their guidebook to the letter, formatted the file. Was relatively easy to do, and the book, about 3 weeks after I said, okay, I've been released, but I'm not walking away from this, the book was launched on Smashwords, and then I subsequently also took it to Kindle Direct Publishing so that it would appear on Amazon. And Smashwords hasn't yet finished their agreement with Amazon to ship to them. So I did both places with the book and got it out there on my own, and had a great cover designed by, it was actually a college kid who was looking to do things for his portfolio for school, and he came up with that cover for me. And he's trying to come up with a cover for the second book at the moment, and then I'll have to get him to do the third one that comes right after that. So, there's a lot of hard work involved on this. The writing's not hard. It's the trying to find the right set of eyes and get this thing in front of people without being, you know, a spam bot and you know, putting out posts every day of just what's on the book. But I use the social media, as you know, over on Facebook and Twitter, and various people who have blogs have interviewed me either through a written interview or interviews of this nature. And
Right.
Going from there, asking people to help share, you know, share the links, tell their friends, and hopefully at some point enough eyeballs see it, and that one eyeball who said, "Hey, didn't I think I saw that book?" And you know what? Maybe mm-hmm. I should have grabbed it. But so it's been out for, I guess, 2 months now. If I look at the calendar, yeah, essentially been out for 2 months, and I probably am somewhere around an average of one copy sold per day, somewhere around there. It's probably 75 to 100, and then another 75 or however many samples have been downloaded, because all the outlets allow people to do a sample as well without purchasing, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If they like it, they can come back and then they get it. And I did the research
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you for 1 second, Alan, because I really want to emphasize this point. And this for our listeners, this is because you're perfect for the concept of our show, which we always advocate to never give up on your dream. You did the hardest part, which was writing the book, although you thought, because, you know, that is a difficult thing. It takes a lot of discipline to get something. Anybody can write stuff, but to get it to be interesting and, you know, actually make sense and that kind of stuff, that's the challenging part. But now you have to deal with the getting it out there. And I have to tell you personally, because I have done a lot of internet media promotion and that kind of stuff, you have really gotten a long way, because you're talking about the fact that you actually turned this into an ebook, you said, in January?
Yes, yes.
And you're talking about 3 months later, your book is getting buzz, because in the fact you're getting buzz in the sense that you might not see it, but it's like the snowball effect. It takes a little while because it is the leapfrog effect of, okay, you get to be on this show and then someone's going to write about you in a blog and that kind of thing. And networking is phenomenal because you can easily get put in touch with somebody that writes screenplays and might know someone that can bring it to the screen, that kind of stuff. So the question I wanted to ask you, when you finally realized, you know, I'm going to have to do this on my own, you know, by going to Smashwords and all this, what did you personally have to do, like, to dig deep inside instead of just saying, you know what, okay, I wrote a book, great, it's just going to collect dust on a shelf? What did you have to do to motivate yourself to go to the next level?
I had to jump in both feet and say, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to make my living doing pretty much for the rest of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it has not gotten that entrenched to do that. So, you know, I still do the financial consulting stuff on the other parts of my day. But I had to say that this is the livelihood that I want to pursue going forward. I've started this. I've become this. It fits my persona as a person. It's something that I am pretty good at based on what people are telling me. And, you know, it was a dream I had that was always just in the background, but now it's in the foreground, and I don't want it to
right.
go back to the background again, because it doesn't belong back there. These books deserve – these stories that are in my head deserve some airtime, if you will. And
well, it's very true, because a lot of people don't realize, for example, the gentleman that wrote the book Music Box, which turned into a national phenomenon, he actually had similar challenges that you did, because they're looking at him going, we don't want that story. That's kind of depressing, you know, about, you know, babies that die and where they go kind of thing. And he actually had to self-publish himself. And he said it was very difficult for him at first, because he's like, all right, I'll self-publish and give a few copies to my family. And it wasn't until he actually started literally going from bookstore to bookstore, will you, you know, put my book in your store and see if it sells, any chance that I might be able to do a guest reading. It took him a while to get the momentum going enough where someone who knew someone read the book and said, oh, maybe we can publish this, and then it got picked up by Warner Books. So the reality is that it's all about continuing to do the work to get it where you want it to go. Now you have it in ebook. Where do you see it going next?
My plans are in the next month or so, sometime in May, to put out the first sequel, and then another maybe 3 months after that, put out the second sequel, both of which are essentially written and are in the fine-tuning stage at this point. And then once that third book goes as an ebook, come back around and push Game 7 into print. And I would, you know, at this point, I would. It's likely I'll do that through probably the Create space through Amazon.
Right.
And,
well, you know,
that's a great concept. Yeah, have the trio of stories out, and then bring the first one into print for the first time, kind of thing. And
that's a great idea. I mean, that's a great concept because you actually have a plan of action, and the reality is that you're creating enough of a buzz that now you can come back and bring it where you have, this is the book, now you can bring it so people can actually have that tangible. Now, I have to ask you another question. As a writer, when you're sitting there, it's something that people aren't telling you, okay, you need to write. What suggestions do you have for any listeners of ours that might want to be writers or are considering doing that? What are some of the suggestions that you can make for them?
I think one would be kind of more of a physical thing, you know, have a space somewhere, if it's in your house or, you know, however you can do it, have a space where you can go escape, if you will, to be your space. That's where I'm going to go and sit when I put my writing hat on. And even if it's only, you know, an hour or two a day, whenever you can escape to that space, be it physical or mental, just say that's my hour that I'm going to go be a writer. Or, you know, in my case, I'm still able to go to my space every day for many hours and push through the work. But you have to kind of allow yourself, you know, a committed. It's sort of like exercising. You know, I'm going to get up and do the treadmill every morning for 20 minutes. You have to have that same mentality of I'm going to do this in my space for my time. And you know, other things would be to make sure that somewhere in the process, that no matter how well you think you've written your story and pulled it together, find yourself a professional, in the sense of whether you have to pay them or not, but an editor who knows how to edit your writing. Find someone who's either does that as a service, or don't be like that gal a couple weeks ago. I'm sure you probably heard that story about the one self-published lady who got a bad, went, I can't remember the name of the gal, but she went off and, you know, how not to respond to reviews, kind of thing. And it went viral,
right,
which may or may not have been her plan all along to do the Charlie Sheen effect. But make sure,
right.
I'm still going either way. Like, you know, this is so crazy that it almost looks like she wanted this to happen, and because she did go viral and people know who she was, and a lot of people probably went and got her books just to see how messed up it was in the first place. But that's not exactly a good approach if your book isn't really very well. But it's kind of like, I'd say find yourself an editor, and there are a lot of people out there who are very good. I've been lucky that I found one, and he has given me insight that I would have never. I wasn't an English major. I was an accounting major in college, but I knew how to, I can master the basics of the English language written, the written form.
Right.
And but he knows, you know, the intricacies of the written
language.
You're
absolutely right, because that's so important, because I know, like, for me, my writing style is so different because I was used to the analytical report writing type of thing, you know, military kind of thing. So when you're trying to translate that into a book, people forget we don't speak the way we write, and we don't write the way we speak. Sometimes you do, if that's the effect you're going for, like in a narrative kind of thing. So your advice is absolutely correct, because for me, like you mentioned earlier, I love the term better readers, because you do need them, because I know it for me. I might write something which I think is garbage and doesn't make any sense, and then somebody else reads it and like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. Or it could be the opposite, where you think you just wrote the best book ever, and people are like, really? I have no clue what's going on here. So you're absolutely right in those two points.
Yeah, that's
now,
where
my... Now, to back
it
up a little, I have a question for you, because when you were writing this book, what kind of research did you do? How did you get to be able to write about the baseball and the mystery aspect and, you know, these women disappearing and all this stuff from a point of view that made it realistic. Because, you know, we've seen that a lot where you see TV shows and you're like, God, that looks so fake. So how did you get to the point that you could write about something with so much knowledge while making it seem you had so much knowledge about the subjects?
Well, I guess I suppose I am a collection of useless information, maybe. But I think some of it is just kind of being in tune with common sense of what's going on. For example, throughout the book, there are a series of missing women in flashbacks. Mm-hmm. And what I did in my case was find places that had some connection to baseball in which to place this so that it fit with the story. So
right.
I did research on minor league baseball cities, found
mm-hmm.
the ones that kind of worked with what I wanted to do, went and researched a little bit about those cities, and you can research everything online very easily, and get down to a street that you want to pick in Charleston, you know, South Carolina, very easily by just looking on a Google map, and you can put something on, you know, the Charleston Park, which is next to the Charleston River, and you can figure out which streets are right next to that, and you can be very precise on your details in your story without having ever been someplace. It's not hard.
You know, that's very true. You offer very good advice, because I know for me one of the areas I was researching in one of the books that I was writing was about Wyoming, and it was fun. I was like, I'm not going to go to Wyoming. There's nothing out there. But you're absolutely right. But that I believe in your case, it really shows an attention to detail, because okay, we can take these facts that, you know, we Googled or whatever. How do you weave all of that to create this tale that seems so believable?
You know, that's a good question. There are certain. Some of it was the editing, where his name is Earl, and he would kind of say, that section you just wrote there is not believable. It doesn't fly for me. You gotta fix it, because it would never happen. It could never happen in real life, kind of thing. You know, so
mm-hmm.
so being called out on some of your imagination is not a bad thing, because sometimes I may have crafted a plot point that is totally unbelievable, and you can't suspend your beliefs and your animation and your imagination enough to say, oh yeah, that could happen.
Right.
So in some cases, and that's where I go back to the common sense thing of, you have to have enough common sense to know that I can't make a human being go fly, and if this isn't a superhero story. But
right.
I can describe a lot of the details of being a major league umpire, because I have been an umpire for 30 years or so myself. I know
uh-huh.
how umpires work. I've never been a major league umpire, but I can fill in the blanks with enough research on how they do some of their inner workings to fill in the blanks in my head that I don't necessarily have from firsthand experience, but I can get the secondhand experience by, you know, just some basic research. And
right.
Ultimately, for me, it's kind of, it has to be believable enough to be believable, I guess, as an odd way of saying it, kind of.
Well, you're absolutely right, because of the type of book you're writing. It has to be believable. I know, like, if you have, like you said, if it's a superhero or, you know, zombies running around, when you have zombies running around, the realm of reality gets stretched just a little bit. You have more wiggle room with that. But when you're coming down to, now, another aspect of the book, when you're talking about the actual mysteries and the missing women and all that, how did you research that to be able to make that intertwine as realistic as your experience with the baseball?
Some of that is just from, you know, plucking out of the news kind of thing. And from, that's a spot where I could take some liberties. In other words, I had identified six locations that I wanted to put a, you know, nefarious activity that took place, and at the end of it, somebody went missing. It wasn't hard to make up the somebody going missing part, because that's where the imagination came in. It was more
oh,
of,
yeah.
coming up with, okay, it needs to have a setting with a city that if somebody looked up that city, oh, yeah, that is a real – that they do have a minor league team. That could work because if somebody was – if somebody was bouncing around the minor leagues, that's a, that certainly – that string actually works. It's not a stretch to say, oh, well, that could never – he couldn't go from X to Y because you'd have to go through RS and T first. But
you know, you're funny because that's what I like. Funny, talk about similarities, because I get teased a lot that I have OCD because I'm so anal about what you just mentioned. Because
well, I used to be
said,
an
well,
accountant. I used to be an accountant.
Well, yeah, that explains it. See, that's funny because I guess my as a homicide detective makes me anal about details because it's like, yeah, you can fudge them a little, but there's that part of you that wants to get it down right to the letter, and it's really cool that you can do that because you're right, you researched it where obviously if someone's in the minor system, someone could travel from place to place to place, which, you know, would tie the you know, your story together, and that's something that the research has come into it, and the way that you've been able to weave it into the story, I really don't have any doubt that once you get the actual hard copy out, that it's going to create a buzz because, like I said, Ellen, it's just very refreshing to see such a cool concept because it's been a while that I've seen a mystery book that gives me such a spin on it that it's exciting. You know, not, and I'm talking also not only as a writer but from a homicide detective point of view, where that would be a mystery I could really sink my teeth into. It's not just the same, you know, cookie cutter of the someone that works at the medical examiner's office or something. You know what I mean? It's different.
I had a review that I just received recently, and it was, and he said some of those things that you didn't have to be a baseball fan to enjoy this because it's a good mystery that just happens to use that canvas,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to know the inner workings of Major League Baseball to enjoy what's going on. And a few people have said the concept is unique. That I have an umpire as my first person. The rest of the book is in the omniscient narrator, but
mm-hmm.
the segments where Marshall Connors is involved, the Major League umpire, all of his are first-person tellings. So I have two different perspectives in the book, and a few people have really enjoyed that little twist. But he's the
you know
that
that's funny because it is. I like that part because of the fact that. And again, I guess my writing style is kind of like I can't get rid of that military, you know, cop way of writing where it's usually narrative. You're telling a story after the fact. And that's the concept that I take. And sometimes when you do that, you can really get lost in only telling, and there's not that much interaction between the characters. But your first-person way of doing it and then bringing it outside that first-person spectrum really gives you a broad view of what's going on. You know what I mean? It keeps it fresh and it keeps it coming at you, so it does keep it interesting. I mean, I really think it's a great concept in the way you do it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was kind of fun, and as the reviewer said, I put the umpire in the story, but I didn't run with the obvious of fixing games as the theme.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with fixing games. Just because there's an umpire.
That was another thing. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. That is such a common trait when it comes to baseball books. And you're like, okay, here we go. Someone's going to do something shady with the calling. Someone's going to get paid off. And like I said, when I first saw what you were doing, I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Because you're right. It didn't go in the direction that you would expect it to go in.
Right. It is not about an umpire on the take and how he gets out of it. Marshall gets twisted into some stuff that he has no idea how or why or what the hell's going on half the time.
But see, that's realistic because in reality, we as human beings, that can so easily happen that we get so bogged down in our world that without realizing it, next thing you look up and you're like, what the heck just happened? You know, what did I get myself into? And you don't, you're right, you wouldn't have a clue. And I think that's what makes that character more believable.
Like I said, he's the me that I am not. Once upon a time, I had visions of maybe doing the Major League Baseball umpire schools, and circumstances changed, and I didn't get that chance. But I've been an amateur youth type umpire for, like I said, the better part of 30 years. So.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell our listeners, if you haven't gotten this book, you need to go out and get it. Alan, would you like to give them the best place for them to go and buy your book and read it? Because if you guys don't, you're lame, plain and simple. And I tell it like it is, guys. You know, I don't get excited about stuff because my listeners know when I like something, I harp on it. And I'm telling you, this has got to be one of the newest, freshest concepts in a mystery story that I have seen in a long time. And you all know that I'm an avid reader. I love to read mysteries. It keeps my cough edges up for the stuff that I write and stuff that I do. So I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true. So, Alan, where's a good place for them to be able to get your book?
People can, the book, as we said, it's an e-book, so it is available for Kindle, it's available for Nook, iBooks, and every other format for any e-reader that you can get. The best place probably to start is my website, which is www.alenschatz, which is alenschatz.com. And on my site, I have a where to buy page, and I'll drop that link here into the chat room here in a second. But there's a where to buy, and that'll take you to the Kindle page. It'll take you to the Nook book page and the iBook page over on Apple. It'll take you to Smashwords, where you can get any and all of the formats at Smashwords. And if you have a Sony reader, you can get the Smashwords version that works on Sony, and it's going to be up on Sony here in the near future. And but starting at my website, the link you just put up is probably the best spot. People can visit me on Twitter or Facebook at just R.A. Schatz. That's my call name on both of those locations. And I have a fan page for the book over on Facebook, which you can get to by just looking up, going to Facebook and searching Game 7 Dead Ball, you'll find that page. But I think that's probably the easiest. And I am a Twitterer all the time, and I am a Facebooker, and I'm over on LinkedIn as well. But that's more of the old professional accountant in me that's on LinkedIn. But that's becoming more and more of a social media place too. So.
Yeah, I think so, too. I kind of think that's the next up-and-coming one. So, Alan, I am so glad we finally got you on the show, and I'm so glad we have this time together. But definitely, you have got to hit me up when you have the sequel out so we can have you back on the show, and we're going to keep promoting you as well. And definitely going to have to, after I read the book, I'm going to do a review for you on our website. I'll send it to you for your approval, and once it's approved, we'll put it up there. Because, like I said, I'm very passionate about stuff that's different and fresh. And that's what I feel about your story. I really love it. I think it's a great concept, and I really feel it deserves to be on the New York Times bestseller list. So I'm sending that brainwave out there for you.
I am humbled beyond belief at this point. I'm probably blushing if you were sitting here. But I appreciate that. It's been fun. The last couple months have been hard. You know, trying to get some notice, and there are days when you think that nobody even remembers you exist. But I appreciate that you took the time to put me on this and gave me the remote connection to being a possible diamond in the rough.
I have a feeling that when I get my hard copy and you autograph it for me in a few years, people are going to be like, you know how much money that cost? Back up. That's my copy. You're not touching it. First edition, back away. Alan, thank you so much for being on our show. Like I said, definitely I am holding you to it. When the sequel's out, please hit us up again. Have you back on. And get you promoted out there. And like I said, once I finish reading the book, I'm going to do a review on it, send it to you for your approval. Because like I said, this can't be a kept secret anymore. We have to get the word out on this amazing book and on your amazing writing talents. I mean, it was just an honor to have you on the show, and I'm just pleased that I discovered you. This is great.
Well, thank you very much, and I am beyond humbled by your nice words, and I hope everybody has a great night. And like I said, I'll drop a couple more links here on the chat board here so that people can grab them if they want. But you have the main one, so that's cool. Thanks for having me on.
Alan, before you go, I want you to know, is there anyone you'd like to send greetings out to?
Oh, I'm not even sure who might be listening, but a hello to my kids, Michael and Samantha. Michael's out in Hollywood trying to become the next great screenwriter, I believe. And Samantha's
awesome.
At college. And then on my Twitter.
Now, see, you
and
already have a screenwriter. What are you talking about? Michael can hook it up for you, right? And just so you know, when you do write the screenplay and you're getting it, don't forget, I mean, you know, a little cameo for ordinary woman over here. I can be like a dead corpse on the side of the road or something.
Well, you could be one of the missing women for me. There you go.
Oh, I'd love to be a missing woman. That'd be great. You know that moment of glory when you're like, oh, she's missing, and they have her in flashbacks. That'd be so cool.
That's right. There's a few flashbacks, and we can drop you right into one.
That would be awesome, and I'm also going to hold you to that. That'd be so cool. So,
okay.
Alan, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to having you back on.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, too. Thanks a lot.
Oh, and Alan, I'm going to hit you up on email because one of the things we do is we always ask our guests to send us a copy of a picture autographed for us because we put it up on our wall of fame. Because, see, I envision someday being bigger than Oprah, and I'm going to have this big studio. So I actually, in my little studio, I do have a picture of all my guests, and I'm sending the brainwave. This is my wall of fame, and I have everybody up there. So we'd love to have an autographed picture of you so that when you are famous, people can say, oh, wow, she really did knew him back then.
There you go. All right, I will do that. I'll look for your note, and I will get that out to you for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alan. Have a great night.
Thank you. I'll see you. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. I have to tell you guys, it just blows my mind the caliber of people that wind up being on my show. Like I said, I was just so excited when I was reading this, the preview of the book. And like I said, I'm waiting to have some dead time this weekend to finish it because it just, I just love when new stuff comes in, like some new fresh stuff. And it just blows my mind that here he is saying, oh, you know, yeah, kind of like people didn't want to publish me. I'm like, are you serious? How could people not want to publish that book? That's insane. Because of the fact that, you know, it's a great concept, and I really believe that it's something that should be out there. So, guys, go to the website, check it out. You're going to love it. It's a fun read, something different. Okay, guys, here we come, unveiling of the next Jenna Donovan song that she sent us before our new guest comes in, and we're scrolling, and we're scrolling, and we're scrolling. See, this is what happens when I have to do the show by myself. My man's all sick and stuff, and I feel bad for him, but I miss him. It's no fun. Oh, man, let's see. Okay. The new song by Jenna Donovan, guys. It's called Let's Talk About Now, and it's by Jenna Donovan. She sent this is supposed to hold me till the next time. I actually have one more song with her and L.A. Fresh Hope, but I'm going to play this one for the break. It's called Let's Talk About Now by the ever-talented Jenna Donovan.
Let's stand up, let's stand tall. Together we will not fall. Let's stand up, let's stand tall. Together we will not fall.
Let's talk about our freedom and how they're being taken right from under our feet. They're being so discreet,
oh,
making it hard to see through the lies and about how
yeah. bombarded. Storming through the fields, together we're marching. Unified as one, they can't stop it. We'll be ready for anything they drop it. Guns in hand, bearing them arms, trying to gain peace from something so wrong. We gotta stay strong and keep our eyes open to what's going on behind the curtain. Knowledge is power, we shall devour any of that old evil power. We can't be taken for some cowards. It's our life, these lands are ours. Mountains to the oceans and the city towers, hills to the forests with the beautiful flowers. Let's get rid of them graves that are sour. The time is now, it's the final hour.
And we are back, and that was the amazing, multi-talented Jonah Donovan on Let's Talk About Now, one of her great newest releases that she had and she sent my way. I'm so excited. So, guys, just remember, for more information on Alan Schatz and his book, you can go to his website. All the information is in the chat room as well as on our Facebook page. So definitely you need to go out there and check out that book as well. You can also Google Game 7 Dead Ball on Facebook and you will get taken to the fan page, which I just liked because I happen to love the book. So there you go. Did that, took care of it. One of the things that we will be having coming up in the next few weeks is we are going to have a segment. Well, we have Angel Girl. She's over there doing her American Idol segment. Angel Girl, you're slacking. You didn't call. What's going on? I'm waiting. Yes, we're waiting. You haven't told us, and don't give me that, oh, I haven't eaten yet stuff. See, it's so funny. Our listeners are used to the fact that we actually talk to the people in the chat room. So we have a lot of great stuff coming up. I reminded you guys that April 12th, if you are in the Massachusetts area in Arlington, Mass, at the Regent Theater, they will be the world premiere of the award-nominated short film Inventory, which our great friend Shelley Nunchucks has been in, and she's going to come on later on the show and give us a little plug for that, as well as later on in the show, we're going to hear from our great buddy Bill McLean, who has some exciting news from the world of filmmaking to share with us. But we'll let him go with that. But now here live is our American Idol correspondent, Miss Angel Lady.
Hello.
Hey, lady. What is going on? How's it going?
Good. I'm kind of tired. Long day.
Hey, I don't want to hear it. Come on, we need a correspondent. Be peppy. Come on, be excited. What's going on?
Well, last week, two people went home.
What do you mean two people went home?
The two girls went home on American Idol last week.
Mm-hmm.
The 15-year-old girl, Thea, I predicted her. And Naima, the reggae, the one that kind of like she's out there, she's all reggae and stuff, and she's been doing like
reggae.
So, and she mm-hmm. went home as well. So there's only 9 remaining contestants.
So there's 9 remaining. Who do you think is gonna go next?
I say, I don't know. It's hard to say because they're all pretty good. So
yeah, it's all pretty good. Well, you gotta give me a guess. Let's see how good you are. Who do you think is going to go home next?
Let me see. I'm going to go with Paul.
You're sending Paul home?
I think so. I don't know. It's just a random guess off the top of my head.
Hey, we'll take it. Yeah, for you listeners that are new, we have this ongoing thing with American Idol. We hadn't watched American Idol in forever, and I don't even know how we got on the subject, so we figured, what the heck? And Angel Girl was the one commenting in the chat room about it, so we just kind of, like, drafted her and made her the honorary correspondent, so she's a good sport and calls in and gives us the lowdown on what's going in there. So how are the judges doing? Anything interesting to share?
They're good. They're funny. I think they're kind of like too nice on the contestants.
You don't have anybody being able to go home.
Huh? What was that?
You don't have anybody that says you're horrible, go.
No. I just heard,
you know,
like.
It's funny because I could never be a judge because I really would have a hard time telling people, you know, that they stink.
Yeah.
The reality is I've talked about this before. You go out there and you put your friggin' everything out in there for people to critique you and make you feel bad about yourself. It takes a lot of guts to do that. So power to them for doing that. And thank you so much for you to being such a good sport and calling in and letting us know what's up with
Morgan.
I don't know what's going on.
Like, I've been calling you guys late because I just been, I don't know, like, because it's late, it's 8 and, like, it's 7 and I had a hard time, like, logging in my chat.
The
so
internet, don't feel bad. It's funny. She was telling me that she had a hard time getting in. I actually got booted off the show for, like, we had dead space for, like, 3 minutes. I'm sitting there going, okay, I think I'm talking to myself. And it was a good thing I was looking at the chat room that actually told me that, guess what, you are no longer talking to anybody. So it's expected. So, Angel Girl, thanks so much for calling in, and your prediction for next week is Paul. We'll see if you're true. And have a good night. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, you too. All right, bye.
I think it's funny. She's such a great sport for doing that. So in the meantime, we're going to be actually listening to another song that I have. Again, this is like the Jenna Donovan night. I was so excited that she sent this new stuff. So I'm going to play this other song in the meantime because I think it's really cool. Oops, I just lost it. It's, again, kind of different. Kind of different. We'll see what you guys think. This is called War, 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 and it's by LA Fresh and Jenna Donovan. And here goes for, this is a premiere. This is the first time it's listened, so you guys can let me know what you think.
Naragan boom, what we gonna do? Crooked politicians stand alone in a room, making war happen, making transaction. We can look forward to more soldiers than a casket. Whoa, we feel the pain. While they sleep, think it's funny playing war games. Shit is insane, not no game. Get up, stand up, be a renegade. Understand war, don't make change. All it do is cause much more pain. Lonely mothers, wives sitting home suffering, wondering, being told lies from the government. Whoa, I don't know if it's ever gonna change, but we gotta find a way. Get up, stand up, get up, stand up. Start a revolution, start a revolution. Yell out, no war. Scream it out, no war. Another weapon, so more politician rich. War make money and that's how it goes. Win money on all of the globe. Oh no, we got to take control, or it's the end of our existence as we may know. Full of devastation from a nation, promote and peace and sovereignty, then secretly create war, destruction and poverty. They all want one thing, money, money, money. Money buy things but can't buy life. We made money, money, no made us. Yell it out, no war. Scream it out, no war.
Oh, my God. the bleed while you succeed. Stop the greed, let's be free. You and me in harmony. Whoa, na 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 na. Whoa, na 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 na. Sing it with me now. We don't want no war. Yell it out, no war. Scream it out, no war. We don't want no war. We don't want no war. Yell it out, no war. Scream it out, no war. We don't want no war. We don't want no war. War, war, war.
And we are back. And once again, we're dealing with technical difficulties in the studio. So hopefully we'll be able to get things going back up. Seem to have lost the chat room up in here, but that's okay. We're still on. So hopefully we'll be able to sort it all out and get it fixed so we can get our guests in time. But in the meantime, just to remind you guys that we are going to be expanding our talk show. We're actually in the works right now of getting a sports-related talk show, which kind of be interesting to see where it goes with that because of, you know, some of the things that we've had going on, and I think it'll be great to be able to do that. So, like I said, working here because, like I said, we seem to be having difficulties getting our chat room back up, and I do apologize for that because it's kind of like hard to figure out what's going on here. And unfortunately, if I can't get my chat room, I cannot get our next guest on the show. Go figure, right? I cannot believe this. So if you guys will just bear with me, we will try to do the best we can to fix the problem as soon as possible.
Hey, Sarah, is there any way you guys can reboot that? Because it's not working.
So one of the things that we've been getting a lot of mail where people have kind of been asking us if we can give them advice on certain topics. And I think I'll go through a couple of those letters before we can get our guests in. So let's see. What do we have here? Okay. Dear Ordinary One, I find it lately that I keep finding myself very dissatisfied with my job, and I have been about making career change. I feel that it is later in my life, and I don't know if this is the right time to make such a change. I don't know what to do, and I don't really feel that I have anybody I can trust. Do you have any suggestions or ideas of what I should do? And that is coming from Rose, and Rose is calling us from Marlboro, Mass. Actually emailing. I don't know why I keep saying calling. Well, Rose, the reality of it is that it's your life, sweetie, and I hate to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you, you know, struggle with it or how much you think about it or what other people around you are saying. The reality is that it's you, and you figure out what to do about your life, and you're the only one who can decide that. Now, as far as your job, yes, you need to work, so it's not like you can just up and quit your job tomorrow. Because the reality is you need money because you can't obviously live your life without money. But you can start thinking about ways to change your life. For example, are there any things that you would be interested in doing that maybe you don't have the training for right now? And you might consider maybe going back to school or taking some classes or just figuring out ways that you can do that. One of the ways that I always suggest for people that are considering transitioning and doing something with their life, I always tell them to volunteer because volunteering is very important, and I think that that's something that you can do to figure out what you want to do with your life because it's very hard to commit to something and that you're not sure you like or not. So, Rose, if you're not happy, not a good thing. We've talked about this in the past. If your work becomes not fun anymore, then you really need to reassess and figure out ways that you can improve that and change that. And my suggestion is look for stuff that you might be interested in, that you love to do, and volunteer with different organizations or whatever it is that you like to do so you can get a better feel for how you want to change your career. And thank you so much for writing into us. All right, we have our chat room back. How exciting. Let's see, we have a caller. And hi, you're on the Diamond in the Rough show.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie?
Hey, what is going on? And who is this? Let our listeners know.
It's Mark.
Mark, what have you been up to, Mark?
Not much, you.
Same old stuff, doing the show. Now, Mark, as our listeners might know, he actually was our winner a while back of our segment because he actually guessed the question, the answer to the question. So he's actually owes us a 15-minute segment that he needs to be doing in the near future. So have you thought about what you want to do your segment on?
Not yet. I've been too busy working overnight and all that. I have a question for you and Andy.
Okay.
I know a couple of weeks ago I was on the air with you guys and Andy was making fun of you or picking on you. I just want to know how that's been going in the past couple of weeks with him. Has he been cooling down anything?
Andy is the man. Yes, he's always teasing us, but in a good way, in a good way. We kind of rib each other because it transitions over from our time together in the guard. We were always kind of egging each other on and
right.
making fun of each other. So, it's, yeah, some things never,
right.
are never changed. That's one of them. So it's kind of cool that you can still do that. Now, you were telling us that we need to go to school, right?
I'm sorry?
I said, you're going to school, aren't you?
Yes.
Now, what are you majoring in?
Criminal justice, law enforcement, and starting in January, I think I'm going to be starting my EMT courses.
Mm-hmm. So what do you plan to do with that?
Do both police officer and become an EMT in the low, Halo, Lawrence area, hopefully. And then hopefully soon after that, get my... get started on maybe writing career in the criminal justice field.
Right. So, see, and the thing is, our listeners don't realize the background that you came from. You're one of those little people that just blew people away with your ability to just show everybody how wrong they were because of the fact that you wind up doing a lot of things people didn't expect you to do, going
right.
to school obviously being one of them, because that was just something that blew people away.
Right.
That you actually were able to, you actually graduated from a certification course for criminal justice, and you did very well on that.
Right.
Mark, real quick, let me just stop you guys. For those of you that are in our chat room, if you are experiencing some difficulty, it's just a glitch in the switchboard, and some of you are going to see yourself awfully lonely in the chat room just because of the system is rebooting. So once it reboots, you'll get everybody back in the chat room. It's so funny when all of a sudden everybody's like, wait, I'm all by myself in here. What happened? Kind of thing, but it's just rebooting as it is now. So, yes, one of the things that Mark has done, which I was very impressed with, was, like I said, he actually did his criminal justice certification and he has continued to go into college. Now, you actually were working on your associates?
Yes, I still am, and I think as of next year, I will be, once I get done, my associates, I'll be transferring to UMass Lowell and hopefully get my PhD.
That's awesome. It's like, now what do you plan to do with that?
Definitely if I'm on the police force, like I said, and like I said a few minutes ago, get into criminal justice writing, like journalism and type writing, for like New York newspaper or Boston Globe or something, or even writing books.
Right, right. So do you ever see yourself actually maybe become a police officer and that kind of stuff, or you just kind of like, aren't quite sure yet what you're going to be doing?
Personally, I think I do see myself do it. And, you know, it will be within the next couple of years. Maybe not, but definitely in the future, I definitely see myself doing something similar to what you and Mel. For those who don't know, Mel's her husband who works for the state police, and I think I might want to do that
mm-hmm.
as well. So.
Right. Well, you know, it's cool that you are actually following your dream and that you've called into the show. So thank you so much, Mark, for calling us. It's kind of nice for you to check up on Andy, make sure that Andy's staying in line and not being, you know, obnoxious, because he never is. Andy's funny. We like to pick on him for no reason because he really is a nice guy. So thank you so much for calling, Mark. It was nice to hear from you.
You too. You guys have a good night. I'll see you next week.
All right, talk to you later. Mark is such a great guy. I really love him. I'm just so in awe of everything that he's been doing with his life. It just goes to show you can never give up, and you have to continuously strive to do what you want to do in your life and not let anybody tell you you can't do otherwise. Speaking on that, I have this amazing talent, Rhea Eaton. She is actually going to be up and coming, and pretty soon I'm sure everybody's going to know who she is because she's such an amazing voice. And I want to play one of her songs right now. It's called Don't Give It Up, and this is by Rhea Eaton.
Yeah. Listen up.
And that was the amazing talent of Rhea Eaton. And for those of you, you know the story. Rhea actually reached out to me. I think she was like a whopping 15 years old when I first had her back on the show. And it was kind of funny. I'm like, I really don't think I should be talking to you. How to get your mom on. But no, it was great. I mean, and she's actually doing a lot of up-and-coming things. You're going to be hearing a lot about her because not only is she an amazing voice, but the fact that she creates her own music, she plays the guitar, and she's just an amazing, fresh talent that I'm just excited to get the word out there about her. As you can guys see, we actually got the chat room back up. How exciting is that? You're no longer all alone in there. We have all these people in there as well, which is kind of cool because I hate when people are all lonely in the chat room. So one of the things that you guys have heard was we had Bill McLean on the show. I think it was a week ago we had him on the show. No, actually longer than that. And he was letting you guys know that his show, he did this movie called Scooter Magruder, and it got submitted to the L.A. Film Festival. And I don't know if you guys know this, but he actually, not only did he get picked to be in the L.A. Film Festival, but on top of that, he actually got selected to be a nominee for the People's Choice Award. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with that, the People's Choice Award is basically the big prize. That's the basically the one that is the one that's considered the best movie in the whole film festival. Now, if you know the process, the reality is that there was about over 200 films that were submitted, and out of those 200 films that were submitted, less than 100 were accepted into the film festival, and only five of those were actually put into nominations for People's Choice Award, and Bill was one of them. And we were hoping to have Bill call us in today and let us know what happened, but unfortunately he was unable to. So one of the things that we wanted to update you on was the fact that Bill's movie actually won the award. He actually won People's Choice Award for the best all-around movie at the film festival this past weekend. And I know that has to be very exciting for him because a lot of work went into him actually getting this movie out there. And it's kind of cool, like with Alan that was on earlier, the writer, when he talks about the fact that on top of having to write the book, then he had to try to figure a way to be able to get the word out there, to get people to read it and to be able to publicize it and get people to know about it. So one of the things that was, I guess, very rewarding for Bill was to be able to, not only he wrote the script, and not only did he write it, then he cast it and he directed it and he produced it and he starred in it, and he was able to actually bring it to the big screen. And when he did, to actually have the great honor of not only was it accepted into the film festival, but it actually wound up winning the award, which is very cool on his behalf. So if you guys get the opportunity, you want to go check out Freight Train, www. I will actually put it in the chat room, www.freighttrainfilms. And you can actually see some clips from the movie there. And there's actually going to be a premiere in the Boston area in the coming months, and we'll keep you guys abreast of that so that you can go and check it out. I think it'd be kind of cool to walk the red carpet. I was kind of excited because of the fact that I actually had a tiny little cameo in there, so it was kind of cool. Oh, Angel Girl's hysterical. If you guys know, she updated us on she's so funny. She updated us on American Idol, and she had given us the guess that Paul was going to get booted, but I guess not. He got saved, so thank you for updating us on that. On another note to our listeners who have been asking, and I'm reminded because I see my girl Smiles is in the chat room, I wanted to let everybody know that our main man, Cardiac, had a baby. He had a baby boy past week and a half, and little Vinny came into the world very healthy and very quickly, as his mom Smiles can attest. He wasn't waiting for anybody. As a matter of fact, the poor woman didn't even get to have her anesthesia. They were waiting to put the spinal in, and guess what? Vinny said, nope, not happening, Mom. Sorry, you're going to feel this one in. She popped the baby out. Hey, Smiles, how you doing? She's in the chat room. Yeah, it was cool. Very beautiful baby. Baby Cardi, as everybody calls him, but no, it's little Vinny, and he is amazing. He looks, it's so funny, he looks a lot like Dad, but he has Mom's smile and her sweet disposition. He's really mellow. So for all you guys out there that were asking, yes, Baby Cardiac has come into the world healthy and strong. Mom and baby are doing well. I don't know how good Dad's doing. I think Dad's like a nervous case because I don't think it's really hit him yet. Hi, Smiles. Oh, man, she's too funny, as Aunt calls him, Flash. And the funny thing is, side joke, Derek Cardiac had actually been working that night, so he came and changed out of his suit. He put on a Flash T-shirt because he said he wanted it to happen quickly. Well, it worked. That kid's like, you know what? I'm good. Because I remember getting the phone call, and within like an hour, He's like, guess what? He's here. I'm like, really? That child wasted no time. So congratulations goes out to Smiles and Cardiac and to that beautiful baby, little Vinny. He's number three of my grandchildren. I'm very proud of him. And we have another one coming on the way, too. But for now, we're enjoying little Vinny. I think he's awesome. On that note, guys, I have another song that I wanted to play for you. Just remember, I let you guys know. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, I think I'm going to play the song. It's my favorite. I haven't played it for a while. And since we're talking about Cardiac anyway, we might as well get the whole crew. This is one of our most requested songs, and I've been slacking. I haven't played it in over a month. So for you guys, for your enjoyment, and for Jillian. To Jillian in Paxton. Paxton Mash, she requested it. So here goes this song out to you, Little Brother Bobby, Legendary by Cardiac, Sacrifice Situ, and Miss Jess on vocals. Legendary with Sacrifice Situ. Cardiac and Miss Jeff on the vocals. I know, it's funny. I don't know why people love that song so much. I get requests, and like I said, I try to keep the rotation fresh because I have a lot of other music coming in. And I hadn't played it for like a month, and everybody's like, where's my legendary? So there it is, guys, Legendary by Cardiac, Situ, Sacrifice, and Miss Jeff on vocals. So, and it's funny, Andy said to me, he's like, yeah, that's the one that broke his Dislike a Rep. And it's funny because even Smiles is a big, hey, Smiles, aren't you a big dance head, house music kind of thing? It's funny, I'm kind of that way too. I want something that keeps me moving. Andy's funny, he's like, and I'm still dancing in my chair. Love it. Yeah, no, Andy, you will love Wildside. I'm actually getting the edited version of that. You're going to absolutely love it. It's pretty cool. blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN. If you are just joining us, we just had the amazing Ellen Chuck on our show. He is the writer that wrote this amazing book called Game 7 Dead Ball. If you guys have not checked it out, you absolutely have to check it out. It's amazing. It's on ebook right now. If you go to Facebook, you can Google him there. Also, if you look in our chat room, his link is there. You can go directly to his chat room, to his website, www.allenschataz.com. Alan Schatz. .com, and you can actually get in there and be able to get the book. And oh man, I'm telling you, it is such an amazing concept because, like I said, it's based, give you a big little thing on it. It's actually a mystery book written that takes time during the seven games of the World Series, and it involves missing women, obviously, crime thing going on. But the way he does it and the way he writes it, it's first person. It's actually based on the character of Marshall, who is a umpire. And that's all I'm going to tell you. You guys have to go to his website. And like I said, if you actually go to Game 7 Dead Ball on Facebook, there's actually a link there for an actual teaser, which is really cool. I hadn't seen a teaser for a book in a while. You're definitely going to enjoy that. So go out there and check it out. Oh, Andy, you're funny. It's Scooby-Doo with blood. Yes, absolutely. You're going to love it. Now, guys, we were supposed to have a couple of people call in, but they were unable to. And it was just basically to give us information. For those of you guys, again, I'm going to tell you, the movie Scooter Magruder actually won the big prize, took it all, this past weekend at the LA Film Festival. They won Best Movie Overall, which was the People's Choice Award. That was with the fact that they got selected out of over 200 and something submissions. Less than 100 films got selected to be in the film festival. Only 5 got nominated for the People's Choice Award, and Bill McLean and his crew of Scooter Magruder were the ones that took home the big prize. So that's exciting news. Also, to update you guys, if you happen to be in the Massachusetts area in Arlington, Mass, this Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Regency Theater, there will be a premiere of the short Inventory. It has also been submitted to film festivals and nominated as well, so you guys want to go check it out, 7 o'clock at the Regency Theater. It stars our very own Miss Shelley Nunchuck. It's a very prominent role. It's pretty funny. It's a hardcore comedy. You guys are going to enjoy it. It kind of took the love of her love of Jackie Chan and incorporated it into the movie. So it's kind of funny. And, yeah, Andy, it's very cool that he actually won the award because he put a lot of his self into it in Scooter Magruder. And for those of you that don't know, Tiff, his wife, was one of the directors, but she was also the editor. She actually edited this movie all by herself. So it was really amazing. And to me, it was an honor to actually have a little cameo in there. It was a lot of fun. We have a caller. So we'll go to our switcher. Hi. I'm help you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you? Hello, everybody.
Good. He's calling in. How are you doing? Everybody's been asking me about you. How you've been doing? How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I'm not 100%. But I'm calling from my girlfriend's. I thought I'd call
in. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm glad to see you have someone taking care of you because we'd hate to have you all by yourself when you're not feeling well. And we're going to have to forward a stack load of emails that I got going, what is my, you know, it's so funny when you do a show, you think you're and that, and then when that other person's not there, because a lot of you know this, Andy is funny because he's talked about it before. Mountain Man is kind of the workings behind this. He's the one that runs the switchboard. He makes sure everything's working right. And a lot of times people forget that he's the one doing everything in the background. So it's funny when he's not there, you're like, oh, Mountain Man, wait, he's not there. Oh, wait, the chat room. You know, all this stuff that you take for granted. So I think it's ironic to me, Mountain Man, and you can talk about this in a minute. It's pretty cool that when you're not around, everybody's like, yeah, okay, where's Mountain Man? I'm like, wait, what about me? What am I, chopped liver? They're like, yeah, where's Mountain Man?
Well, Mountain Man.
Laugh at my chagrin. I think it's hysterical because it's like, you know, originally it was my show and then it turned into a man's show as well. And it has been a great concept. I mean, it's worked out great, the chemistry and all. But I think it's pretty funny when, you know, you're not around. Everybody's like, oh, you. Okay, where's Mountain Man?
Oh, why? I must lighten up the show or something. But no, Mountain Man hasn't been feeling good over the last week or two, guys. And I apologize for not being on the switchboard. It's just I haven't been feeling well. I've been struggling through a lot of stuff lately. And I am going to be struggling over the next several weeks. And that's one reason why I was trying to reach you, Charlie, is to kind of talk off the show about some stuff.
Well, just to let you know, don't think getting away from us. Yeah, I'm going to give you a couple weeks off. That's it. Don't even think that you're going to be fading off into the sunset anytime soon because our switchboard would absolutely fall apart. Oh, you missed it earlier in the show. We had like 3 minutes of space, like everything just like stopped. And it was funny that I was looking at the chat room. Everybody's like, did she just stop? We don't hear anything. So we had to reboot and get back into the chat room. And it was funny because our guest, Alan, he's like, wait a minute, 14 seconds before I'm going to get on the show, she's disappeared. And he's like, I was so excited looking forward to it. And it was ironic because if you guys remember last week, Alan apologized for it. He totally had a brain cramp and got the dates mixed up. So here we are talking about Alan and he's going to be on the show and he never wind up calling in. And then afterwards he's like, oh crap, that was today. So it was funny that, you know, seconds before he's going to get on the show, they like it kicked everybody out. And then like 10 minutes ago, all of a sudden the whole chat room just went gone. It's like, okay, great. I have no switchboard and no chat room, so I can't get anybody in. So, yeah, see, well, you're gone 1 week and everything falls apart.
I'm sorry, guys, but I have to take care of myself here. And
no, Andy's funny. I know, Andy's funny. He says, it sounds like my last job. Nobody appreciated what I did until the days I was out sick. So we have a whole new appreciation for what Mountain Man is doing. But, no, really, all teasing aside, so we do really want you to take care of yourself, and it's very important for you to do that. So our listeners are going to be saying prayers for you to make sure you get on the mend and make sure we get all these little notes to you and stuff.
Yeah, well, also, Mountain Man may be moving from his present location, so.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Huh?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? No, that doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, that's one of the reasons why I want to talk to you, kind of off the air here.
Yes, absolutely. All change is good. We'll figure something out to make it a good thing. But I'm glad to see you sound better. You sound a lot better than you did last week.
Yeah, well, I've got a hernia or two, so it's going to take me a little while to get back. I've got to get in to see the doctor and stuff. So I've got a couple of appointments coming up, at least one in May, but I'm going to try to make another one for sooner, so I am going to be out for for a few weeks. Not sure exactly, but you and I will talk about that on a different note.
Absolutely, and we'll make and we'll definitely keep our listeners updated so they know what's going on. Andy's like, what do you mean, or two? He's like, no, come back. No, that is painful. That is very painful. I mean, hernias, trust me, that is no joke. That is.
Believe me, I'm not even comfortable right now.
I can imagine. I mean, like I said, that's no joke. You definitely got to be taking care of that. But thanks for calling and letting us know what's up, and we know that you sound a lot better.
And that's kind of what the reason for that little episode the last couple of days.
Yes.
I'll call you back.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Please keep your phone on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling us and letting us know how you're doing.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys. Good day. Bye-bye.
All right, hon. Talk to you later. Oh, man, I'm so glad he called so we know that he's doing better. Thanks, Smiles. I'll make sure I let him know about that, Andy, too. I want to play one last song before we go. I mean, obviously, I play a couple, but this, for you guys, Julie Kinchek, we talked about her. She's going to be coming back on the show probably in a month or so because we actually have been hyping her up, and she's been busy on tour. So I want to play one of her songs to remind everybody of her style. So this song is called Coffee Song, and it's by Julie Kinchek. Julie Kinchek with the Coffee Song. Interesting story behind that song. She actually wrote that song for her husband, who they weren't even dating at the time. I guess they had just started, you know, hanging out or whatever. And she kind of played the song to him, and he's looking at her like, yeah, it's a cool song. And she's like, no, but what do you think of the song? So that's kind of like the song was her way of saying, yeah, maybe we need to, like, start dating or something. So I thought it was a cool concept to that story. And to that song, I mean, I thought it was a great song. So, guys, I cannot believe the time snuck up on us already. It is 4 minutes left in the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, Alan was an amazing, I mean, I love that story about how he wrote his book and just continued to forge ahead and make sure that it got out there. And I'm really looking forward to the sequel. So remember, guys, go out there and get the book. Next week, we're going to have the ever-talented Miss Kristen. She's going to be on our show directly from California. I'm really excited. And we're also going to have Mo Diddy, different kind of music, different kind of sound, executive producer. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Andy thinks it's funny. He's cheesing. But, yeah, so those are going to be our next guests for next week. And just thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to continue to get the word out about our show. It's people like you that make it possible, and I'm really excited that you all continue to join me. Andy, Betty, Brendan, Frankie, Gary, Infamous Angel, as always, Mary Rose, Peter K., Robert, Starlight, William, and of course, my smiley girl. Welcome to the chat room, and thank you so much for joining us. And as I say, before we sign off, remember, do not let anyone ever, ever steal your dreams away. And you know what the motto is of our show, from our girl Smiles, nothing is impossible to the willing heart. So for everybody here at the Diamond in the Rough show, thank you so much for joining us. Have a good evening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy whatever little spring days you get, and make sure you go out there and enjoy it. And please stay safe, and looking forward to seeing you guys next Thursday. And I'm going to see you out with this song called Faith by My Silent Bravery. Have a great night, everyone.
One hell of a plan to reach global consciousness. Some people think they pull out the helm and never like to give back again. Sickness is a bitterness for looking for the medicine. The problem is when we invest, we expect to steal the damn. Right away without delay, a product of the world today. Did you hear your mother say that something good is worth the wait? Something good is worth the wait.